www.themouthmagazine.com.
James Leasley, hi Hazels, welcome to the Mouthcast.
Hiya.
It's been almost 3 years, can you believe it, since we sat and podcasted together, and there's been lots of stuff going on for the band in that time, most notably the album, and later this week there's a new EP, Weak Sun, a beauty which includes this song. This is the new single, Sequin Eyes. James, that was Sequin Eyes.
Yep.
In reviews of your stuff in the past, I've used the phrase scrubbed up and out on the town. There was something beautifully self-contained and hugely confident about your album. It was really, really well crafted. We'll talk about the album a little later, but on this new EP, there's a marked shift in the band's sound. Things are getting a little dirtier, a little darker. There's a little bit of Scott Walker creeping in there, I think.
Yeah. I think from the album, we sort of, we had a break from the album after we played live a little bit. And obviously we'd continued listening to different, all sorts of different things. We went back to just writing some brand new stuff. I think a lot of it, because we were playing with traditional chords, a lot of it was just on guitar to start with. And just looking at intently the sort of melodies that Scott Walker were using, just to like, pristine delivery and things like that. And that was something that we wanted to try and have a look into because we'd always been fans of. And we just sort of started writing a collection of different tunes, and they all followed that sort of same thread, which gave the sonic side of things, because the melodies are quite, sometimes quite grand in place as well. We tried to be. We wanted to sort of just off balance that, knock it off balance in a way, so some of it would dark or it would be dragging you down a little bit and questioning this, where the melody's coming from, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's been a good 18 months or more since the album, and I wondered if you obviously really, really consciously felt it was time to move on from that sort of 50s, 60s twang sound that you had there. Not that what you're doing now is a million miles from that, but I got the feeling when I listened to this new EP that there was a very strong sense of you. It was exploration, really. You definitely were looking to get away from repeating yourself, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's like a natural thing. You sort of feel like you've sort of done that to whichever extent. And the songwriting itself, we'd sort of found a sound in a few of the tracks off the album. And afterwards, we'd sort of found a little door that we thought, we'll try and go down this one because it seemed the most natural course for us to take. Straight after the album, obviously, we were jamming around and playing different songs. And we had quite a few different ideas. And the core of the songs were quite similar to what we've always done and what we still probably will do. But the way we've dressed it up was slightly different. And we went through a couple of different batches of songs. Some of them were just seen in a little bit more difficult to get off the ground. And we couldn't really put our fingers on why. And then after an extra like few months or whatever, we realised that the songs that we really feel natural and it just comes together with the sort of tunes that we've written for this EP. We took plenty of time on that, and we made it a more conscious decision to maybe come away from the more, like you said, twangy 60s sort of riffs.
Yeah.
And focus something that's slightly a little bit heavier. Not as in heavy as in sort of heavy distorted or anything like that. Oh, there is some of that, some fuzz guitar, but more in terms of like trying to have more hypnotic lines that repeat themselves, you know, just go between the notes and then it becomes something bigger from itself instead of trying to cover a lot of ground. So it just keep it simple and it sort of pulls you in that way. So it's like a less is more sort of feel.
I think there's a little bit of psychedelia creeping in, and also I think you're using space in the music in a way that I don't think you've ever done before, actually.
Yeah, like I said, with where we work for the less is more, Ant's the drummer, he's sort of, and the bass, they've sort of locked into this more rhythmic, deeper groove that sort of opens a lot more space up, and it lets the melody sort of sink into it in a way.
So
we took a lot of time doing that, and we sort of thought that gives it a thickness. As they were written lyrically as well, it sort of touched on, there just seemed to be a lot of nocturnal and dark references unintentionally. I don't know whether it's an outside thing, and just it seemed to lock in, and we wanted to make sure that lyrically and musically things were really sort of tying in and coming from the same sort of seed, which we think we've missed that a little bit on previous ones.
The stuff on the EP definitely feels like the work of a slightly older band, you know, and I mean that in the least patronising sense to what has gone before as possible. Not that there's anything jaded about the EP, but there's a deeper melancholy there, I think, whereas some of the earlier stuff had a real knock me down and I'll get up every time quality. I'm not quite so sure on this one, which is good. I think it adds to the depth of the music, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think we're big fans of that anyway, in his influences in terms of having some bits of poetry and things like that. And a lot of that sort of, they say it's miserablest or whatever, but we wanted to try and see if we could have a lot of bring the mundane to life, give it a bit of joy, but there's also just that tiny bit of joy creeping through just every now and again, you know. So if we create a bit of a dark sky musically, there's often a little touch of light, whether that be a lyric that's trying to like seep through, or a little bit of guitar work or a bass line that just peeps out every now and again. But you know what I mean? So there's just a little bit of life in it. I don't know if it's a reflection of how we've been going on or how we've felt, but it just seemed the most natural thing to be going on about, I suppose.
One more.
those who haven't come across High Hazels before, and I find it hard to believe that there's many who haven't, let's just have a little bit of a history lesson, James. The band is made up of brothers and schoolmates, but how long have you been playing together? And in fact, how did you get together?
So me, Anthony and Scott, we all went to school together, and Paul, Anthony's brother, was a couple of years older. So as we went through school, we just went about as normal lives sort of thing. And then once we got into college, that's when music started to take its course, and we were still really close friends. So then we got together and we played in a band or two, obviously not very good. But then we landed on a few songs which are reminiscent to the first EP we ever released as High Hazels. That were like the sort of seeds of that, where we started looking at acoustic tune, like open tunes on acoustic, that sort of fresh major seventh sort of feel. And once we'd got our feet into that, Paul had already been knocking around in bands, and we just got talking. Once we'd grown up and things, we're all in the same sort of boat in terms of going out and things like that, and he just sort of seamlessly joined. And then that's when we decided to create High Hazels and managed to release a single, and followed that up with an EP. That was around the time we did his first chat, I think, as I remember.
Yeah, it was when In the Half Light came out, I think.
Yeah, that's right. And then from that, we went on and did an album quite shortly after. 18 months, maybe 2 years ago from now, and then we've managed to put together this new EP. But in between that, we've just been sort of learning how to go about what sort of craft we want to create, and just soaking as many influences as we can up externally and putting them together in a bit of a pot.
I mean, I know it's quite a social band. Do you do that? Do you sort of go to all the gigs together and go for a pint together and all of that kind of thing?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's one of the good things about what we've got, actually, because we can go to practice and then straight away we can go for a pint or whatever, not anything musically related.
Yeah.
We'll go out socially, and now and again we'll talk about it, but sometimes we do as other mates' heads in, you know, talking about music, so we have to cap it. But it's always, if somebody sees some gigs coming up, they'll say fancy tickets for that, and we'll go out there and have a few beers. It's quite constant in that sense. But it's also good because we don't feel like we turn up just for the music, you know what I mean? It's a continuation, so the music just happens on the side, like, as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just a given that we're all going out and sort of socialising. So you're always next to each other chatting.
Because I always think that about the Beatles in the early days, say. They were friends, they were a great band, obviously, but they were friends first, I think. The personnel was very important, but it must have been difficult for anyone on the outside of them to see them as anything other than the Beatles when they're out and about.
Yeah. People have mentioned that they can tell once they've seen us that that there's some sort of hidden chemistry, that we can tell we're friends and things like that, and your inside jokes and things like that, things that seem a bit, which can work against you in a way, in a sense that I think people feel like you've isolated away from that and people can't access you as people. But I think all bands like to keep that. We've always said when we're in the music sort of thing, we want to keep it the music, and the band is the band, and then outside that, if you're in a bar or whatever, you can just carry on as normal. But I don't think it's something we've ever really thought about, I suppose, and we just take it as normal.
Yeah.
Somebody wants to listen to us and chat, then that's brilliant. We'd stop and have a pint and a chat all day long.
Yeah. Well, Sheffield, of course, is a beautiful place. I was there having a mooch around the Peace Gardens only a couple of weeks ago, and it feels like a very cultured city, but without having ripped up its roots, if you like. It's very real, I guess, is one way of putting it. It's a very exciting place, but it's also very down to earth. Would you say that being from Sheffield has affected the way the band sounds or the way you approach music as an individual?
We've discussed this, actually, like, quite a few times, just in terms of how it's perceived, and we've come to the conclusion that personally we don't really feel like the sound of us is anything to do with Sheffield, I suppose. It's just, I think we thought that historically Sheffield's, it's covered a hell of a lot of ground, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's quite a lot of reference points to a lot of styles of music, which is fine, you know what I mean? And it's a testament to its historic sort of pedigree musically. But for us personally, it shapes you in more of a personal thing, not necessarily how you sound. I think it's more of a, like, lyrically or the position you're in. I mean, I imagine if we if we lived on West Coast of America or something, we'd probably sing about the sun a bit more, or at least being stronger than it is where we are, hence the EP name. So I think that sort of comes into it a little bit, and the darkness of around and the city sort of feel. But that's just the music thing. Personally, I love Sheffield for like the reasons you've said. It's really close-knit, but there's also a lot of places to sort of get away and sort of be on your own a little bit, because I like to, like you said, you just have a little mooch around. I often just make a couple of hours, either before practice or whatever, just have a little mooch around and a little drink and a coffee, you know, and just to watch things and have a think about, usually about piecing a little idea together. But so I guess that's the background to all that thought, in a way.
Yeah.
So it might sink in. So.
Well, a moment ago you mentioned the debut single "Hearts Are Breaking," and I think we'll pause to have a listen to that in a moment. And then there was the "In the Half Light" EP, and then the album, as you said. And we'll just talk a little bit more about those when we come back. This is Hi Hazel's debut single from it'll be almost 4 years ago now, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. A while ago now.
Yeah, it is. This is "Hearts Are Breaking." "Hearts Are Breaking" from Sheffield's finest, Hi Hazels. That was their debut single, as we said, a while ago now, and there's been a nice amount of further quality material since then, including the In the Half Light EP and the debut album, both of which were really well received. James, that album is a great collection of songs, and in some ways it actually reminded me of the debut album by the House Martins, not necessarily musically, but in that every track was a win, a top quality track, and the whole thing hung together just beautifully. It was its own little world to escape into, really. I guess that's important in music, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's a really big thing that we've all hit upon, and I think subconsciously we managed to achieve that on the first album. sometimes not to the extent we wanted to. But again, we're not the listeners. And after you've been in the song so long, you forget whereabouts you are in the bigger picture.
Yeah.
So that's good to hear from yourself. But that's the mindset that went in with this new EP. The bands we listen to, it's become a lot of, you want to be in that world for that length of time, for that album or that couple of albums. And if you want to be in a different world, you put a different band on. Do you know what I mean? You don't want to try and visit every single different type of pocket of the world in the same album, which potentially can be done, I imagine. But the ones that I really like are the ones you can just pop on and just sort of, whatever mood you're in, you can put them on for that reason. And we wanted to have that in this new EP. So if you feel like a certain way, you can put that on, sit back and relax, whether it be for 5 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever. And then you're back into the real world. And that sort of thing we wanted to achieve, because I think that's the beauty of music. You can sort of get away from anything, even though you're not physically going anywhere. That was quite a big aim for us for this new one.
Yeah. Where do you feel that, talking about aims as well, not necessarily musical this one, but more the business side, if you like, where do you feel that High Hazel's position now? Because you've been on the scene for a few years, so you can't really be described as an up-and-coming band.
Yeah, I think that's one of the hardest things to sort of get your head around in a way. And we started, like I said, as an up-and-coming band, new thing coming from Sheffield, and that naturally creates its own little buzz.
Yeah.
Because like we've talked about earlier, the history of Sheffield and things, you expect good things coming from there. So we've got a management and we've got a small label which we've released all our current stuff off. And we'd gone along there and we'd sort of just rode along as things came, you know, take it as it comes, because we're all quite inexperienced in the music world, so to speak. So we just thought we'll stick together and just take it as it comes and do what we can and enjoy it. As that's gone on, we've gradually changed his direction a little bit. We've not got a manager at the minute. We've just got High Store Hit, the label that we've released on. They've been very supportive in anything we want to release. They've sort of waited and said they'll put it out for us, which is, we're really grateful for that sort of thing. But in terms of the business side and trying to get out of there, things just haven't fell in place in terms of booking agent and things, so we've not been able to play as much as we'd like. We've recently supported the Coral and Richard Hawley, but they've been like, we've got enough of a little bit of merit where they've managed to get us on, even amongst the world of the industry of, if you're on that label or if you've got this booking agent promoting, you know what I mean? We've got directly straight in contact and they've got us on, which again, massively appreciate that sort of thing. In this day and age, I think you need a lot of people who can open the doors to give you a sort of chance to get in there, because it's that snided with music from all parts of all genres, you know, it's ever changing, so you can never grasp or think this is going to work for us because tomorrow it won't work, you know what I mean? We've lost a little bit of, not lost as way, but lost a little bit of as foothold in the scene, if you like. I don't know if that's sort of a byproduct of being sat writing for so long, or trying to formulate a way to write these songs and get them out there. Because this new EP, we've been sat on a few of the songs quite a while. I think purely because we've not had the mechanics behind us to sort of put it in people's hands and get it recorded, get it out of there quick. Because we've got plenty of work on personally, there's normal lives and we're trying to do this as well. So it's been a bit of a struggle to get things out, but we've always fundamentally thought if we sort of keep together, and we've always said we don't want to do anything quicker than we need to, because once it's out there, especially these days, it can be on the internet and it's never going to disappear, really, you know what I mean? Which is a good thing, and potentially a bad thing if you rush something out. I mean, a lot of bands, it's quite a common thing, we don't want to rush things out, you know, it's a bit of a cliche, but we did feel like we wanted to really take our time and be happy with it, whether it be a couple of songs in a year or 10 songs in a year, it doesn't really matter the time scale, as long as it's good. Do you know what I mean? Because it'll be good for a long time to come, hopefully.
Yeah, I think that is the thing about High Hazel's as well, the high quality watermark that's been there right from the start, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and that brings its own baggage in a way that you have your own standards, and sometimes that can put a lot of pressure on the writing, because obviously there's four of us, so, and we're all quite collective in the writing, or at least the judgment of parts. It's a case of if a lyric, a melody, or guitar part, drum part, it's all thrown into the democracy of, do you think this is working, do you think that's that? And that naturally takes a lot longer.
Yeah.
But when it all comes together and we're all happy with it, it's a lot more satisfying, and we can sleep at night knowing that we like it, regardless of anything else. And I think that's the only thing we can go on, because we've sort of nearly done things in past and left it a month or so and looked back and thought, good job we didn't put that out. You know what I mean? Now I've changed his outlook. And the ones that usually like stand the test of our time in that period of time are usually ones that think, yeah, to be fair, they'll probably stand the test of time on outside of our musical world. Like,
yeah. Well, I think the tracks on this EP, Will, the Weak Sun EP, is very strong. We heard Sequin Eyes at the top of this, and we'll hear Joined at the Lip to close things in a moment or two. I genuinely feel this could be the EP to kick a few more doors in, if you like. Do you expect that from this release, or are you just happy to get it out there after this break, if you like?
I think we've got to the point where we're just really glad to get it out there. We're lucky to be able to get it out there. Some bands struggle to even get the music to a point where you can release it.
Yeah.
So we're grateful for that. And anything, we always think, right, from now on, as long as, like I said, once we've gone through the writing process, recorded it, and been in that sort of environment and world, we've said, if we like it, we can genuinely, hand on heart, say, this is what we're into, this is what we've listened to, and we're proud of it, which we are, then anything else really is a bonus. So for this sort of, for you to be playing it, it's really appreciated, and if anybody else gets on board, then brilliant, and for as long as we can, we'll try and keep making it, whether the environment or the way things go, it might go one way or the other. So we're definitely still really into it and progressing, hopefully, so we'll be going for it.
Excellent. Well, I've still got my fingers crossed for the album to get a vinyl pressing at some point, because I think it was made for vinyl. And I also hope this EP is another nice little 10-inch piece of vinyl, like In the Half-Light.
Well, like I say, it's purely financial, and as things have gone on, it gets tighter and tighter the less sort of money you make. So we always push, that's one of our first things, can we get it physical?
Yeah.
We did it with a single off that, off the EP. They joined at the lip, that's limited to only 50. So they would be collectible if we go on from this, but who knows? But yeah, as soon as we get the chance to do it, we'll snatch their hands off whoever, if we can ever do it. We might have to do it like, sometimes people do it as a pre-order to get the money in, and then you can go on to make it. It's a sad thing, really, but
yeah.
If we come into some money and it's doable and feasible to make even. I think we lost on the last single. That shows you how harsh it is, the environment, to make money off it, but we just wanted to make it get out there in the world. And
I suppose in 10, 20 years' time, even though you've, like you say, lost a little bit short term, just the fact that it exists is going to be huge, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, we didn't lose major amounts, but it was quite a novel thing that we lost money on it, but we were like, we don't mind that sort of thing. We've never made a penny, but hopefully, like you say, it might be knocking around in a shop or in a few people's houses in 20, 30 years to come.
James Leasley, hi, Hazels. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. Cheers. In the backwaters of my bloodstream, nightmares play the violin every night for me. Does it feel
shining is www.themouthmagazine.com.